Once upon a time, there were two merchants. They were old friends, and they would go traveling, each with his own ship, across many oceans, calling at many ports, and there buying exotic spices and bringing them back to the marketplaces to sell. Now, one time, one of them, he went to a far distant land, and there he bought a spice so delicious that all the way home he was eating it. A spice so delicious that he bought all that he could get hold of. And it was no surprise to him that when he arrived home, when he went to the marketplace with it, everybody wanted to buy it. Soon his store was thronging with customers, and it wasn't long before the end of the day, everybody had bought his spice. Everybody in the city, it seemed, had bought his spice and gone home, and he had nothing left. Well, it took a few more days, and then a few more. And that's when the really terrible thing happened. You see, everybody who had eaten that spice, they became overtaken by the most terrible fear. A kind of crazy fear, a mindless fear, a running around and screaming kind of fear. All of them, the whole city it seemed, and none more so than the merchant. He would cower under his kitchen table, under a blanket, and tremble. And he would have stayed there, perhaps all day, had not his friend come calling. His friend, who was also the merchant. The merchant that he'd gone travelling with all the time. And he was the one person in the city who had not had any of his spice because, well, he wouldn't go buying spice from another spice merchant. Why would you do a thing like that? He was too busy selling his own spice. And because of that, he was the only person who had not eaten the spice. But he could see everybody running around the city trembling and shaking and shouting with fear. And so he goes to the merchant and he says, "Why is everybody so afraid?" And the merchant, under the blanket, trembling, he says, "It's the spice. It's the spice." "What do you mean?" says his friend. "It's made them all crazy. Oh, I should have listened." "Listen to who?" says his friend. "Oh, the people that sold me the spice. They says, well, you maybe should know that this spice can be a little bit, well, it can make people a little crazy." "But I didn't listen. It was too delicious. I couldn't resist it. And now look what trouble I've brought upon us all." "Oh, my goodness," said his friend. "Well, what are we to do?"
"Go to the port," says the merchant.
"The port where I bought it. Ask them if they know if there's a remedy. There must be one." And so, that's exactly what the friend does. He gets his boat and he sails all the way to that far distant port. And when he gets there, he finds the merchant who sold his friend all that spice, and he tells him what's happened. And the merchant there, he says, "Oh, this is very, very bad. This is very, very bad. Well, you see, we don't really know what the remedy is because we never get bothered by this spice. It never makes us crazy. But if you're not used to it, it can really make you quite crazy." "Well, what's to be done?" says the friend. "Tell you what, I'll ask about." And so he does. He asks about the marketplace and he gathers all his friends together, and all the merchants, soon they're gathered round and they're trying to figure out what to do. And it's just then that an old man, he speaks up and he says, "I know where the remedy is to be found." and everybody listens, because he's like the oldest guy in the whole place. They all listen to him.
He says, "You've got to go south, south, as far south as a person can go, and that's where you'll find the remedy."
So that's what our friend does. He gets back in his ship, and he sails south. Well, you see, when you sail south, normally things get warmer. But you sail far enough south and they start getting colder again. And you keep on going and it starts to get really cold. Soon he's arriving at ports that look like they're at the end of the earth. So cold, so windswept. And in each of these places, he says, "Is this the furthest south a person can go?" And in each of the places, the people there, they say, "Well, no, no, it's you can go a lot further south than this." And so, thinking he has a cold old journey ahead of him, why, he buys some fur-lined boots or a fur-lined jacket or a fur-lined cap, and he sets out sailing. And further south he goes. And he does this again and again, stopping at ports that look like they're really at the very end of the world, only to be told that there's further south he could be sailing. And each time, buying himself another fur-lined piece of clothing, until at last, he really does seem to have come to the very end of south. There really doesn't seem to be any further south a person can go. And it's a windswept port with only one man sitting there on the dock, an old, old man. And when he arrives with his boat and he asks this old man, "Is this the furthest south a person can go?" The old, old man, he looks at him with his screwed up eyes there at the very end, it would seem, of all the world. And he says, "Almost." And then he points his finger into the furthest south. He says, "You've just got to cross that ocean there. And then once you get across that ocean, you'll come to a land that's all ice and snow. And that's the furthest south you can go." And our friend, he's very glad of that. And he thanks the old man. And he sets out sailing across that frozen ocean, until they come to a land of ice and snow. Him and his ship, they come to a land of ice and snow. And as he steps out of his boat and onto this land, where he's very glad of the fur-lined hat and the gloves and the jackets and the trousers and the boots and everything that he's bought in all the ports that he stopped at on the way, because, boy, he really needs them right now, because it's cold. Oh, it's cold down there, yes. And he's walking and he's walking, and it doesn't seem like there's anything and anybody there. It's like frozen and deserted. There's nothing, nobody. Until, after walking for quite a while and wondering to himself how he's ever going to find a remedy in a place like this, why, he sees in the distance, silhouetted against the horizon, there is a polar bear. And he hails the polar bear. The polar bear gives no response. And so he walks. He walks to the polar bear. And the polar bear is really quite large and rather frightening and daunting, like a huge, huge giant of a white bear. "Excuse me," says the merchant. The bear turns around, glares at him. "I'm told that this is where I can find the remedy to the spice that makes people crazy with fear. Do you know if I can find it here?" The bear simply says, "I can give it to you."
"Huh? Oh, that's wonderful," says the merchant. "Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Now?"
The bear, in response, says nothing. Just turns around and walks away.
"Oh, okay,"
says the merchant, and he scampers after him. Well, he has a rather frustrating day, because the bear simply goes from one fishing hole to another, fishing in little holes in the ice, sometimes successfully, other times not, and all the while the merchant is just trailing behind him, and every time he asks if they're ready and could he now give it to him, the bear turns around, glares at him, and says, "Just be quiet." And after a while, he doesn't say anything anymore. At last, when the day's over, the bear goes back to his cave and the merchant goes with him. The bear's laying down on the floor of the cave, now getting ready for sleeping. The merchant thinks, "I must say something now." "I'm sorry to disturb you," he says, "but you did say..." And the bear glares at him and says, "Just be quiet." What could he do? The merchant, he just laid down himself on the floor of that cave and he wrapped himself tightly in all the warm, furry things that he had. And soon he was fast asleep. However, in the middle of the night, he woke up. And apart from the bear's gentle breathing, the world was silent. He shuffled out of the cave, and he wandered a few steps. And that was when the amazing thing hit him. It was then that he realized he couldn't hear anything. The entire world was completely quiet. The stars above his head were twinkling and shining, and the land, the icy land beneath, was reflecting the light of the stars. And he knew he had never seen anything so beautiful in all his life. He just stood there, admiring the stars and the icy land, and most of all, enjoying the quiet, a quiet the like of which he'd never felt before. Well, after a while he starts to get a bit cold, and so he goes back inside a bit reluctantly, but he really doesn't want to lose his toes to the cold. He goes inside and it's a bit warm and he shuffles up quite close to the bear, and he spends the rest of the night quite cosy, snuggled. Well, when the morning comes, the bear grunts, and off goes the bear into the snowy landscape, and from one icy fishing hole to another, they go all day long. There was one time that the merchant had the courage to clear his throat and say, "Now, about the..." But he didn't manage to say much more than that before the bear said, "Be quiet." And so, on they went from one fishing hole to the other until that day too came to a close, and still the merchant had not been given the remedy. Even when he tried clearing his throat now, the bear would seem to get cross. And so he didn't say anything until the end of the day when they were just going to the cave and getting themselves ready to bed. And he says once more, with all the courage he could muster, "Now, I do appreciate that you..." And the bear glared at him and stared at him and said, "Be quiet!" The poor old merchant goes to sleep that night. What else could he do? But in the dead of the night, it's the same. He wakes up with the feeling that something amazing is just outside. He shuffles out of the cave, and soon he's standing there under the stars in the quietest quiet he's ever experienced. Not a sound. He almost imagines he can hear the stars singing. It's so quiet. And then after a moment, something even more lovely happens. It's like in his heart, he sees a diamond. A diamond that reflects the light of the stars and shines them upon the earth. And a great calm came over him until his toes started to hurt because they were cold, you see, and then his fingertips too. And then he realized he was shivering all over and running around and clapping and flapping his body. Why, he warmed himself up a little bit and then ran back to the cave and snuggled up as close as he felt was appropriate to the big, big bear that was sleeping there. Well, when the third day comes, he's traipsing around all after the bear all day long, not daring to say a thing, but getting increasingly impatient. And when the night comes and they retire to bed, he just clears his throat and he's going to say something very diplomatic and not at all pushy. And the bear glares at him and simply says, "Won't you just be quiet?" And what was he to do but go to sleep, just like the bear? But in the night, he's once again woken up by a feeling of something marvellous outside. And once more, he goes outside and he stands there in the most amazing quiet you ever heard. Not a sound in the sky or on the earth, only the twinkling lights of the stars reflected in the snowy landscape ahead of him and all around him. And that diamond in his heart, why, it got a little brighter and it felt a little larger, and there came a moment where he suddenly felt something he'd not felt before, a peace and a quiet so immense that in a flash he realized nobody can feel this quiet and feel scared at the same time. Nobody can feel this quiet and feel scared at the same time. And then he took off his big furry hat and he slapped himself hard on the forehead and he said, "Just be quiet!" And his laughter rang around the snowy landscape as he jumped up and down and danced for happiness. "Just be quiet," he said, shouting to the stars. "Just be quiet. Oh, thank you, bear," he said, turning and running back towards the cave. "You gave me the remedy. Just be quiet, right? Just be quiet." The bear, who was now stirring, she raised her head and she looked at him and she went, "Just be quiet." And she put her head back down on the cave floor, and soon she was fast asleep. Well, the merchant, the next morning, he runs all the way to his ship. And it's all frozen there on the icy sea. But soon he gets it all shipshape, and soon he's sailing for home. Past all the ports that he's covered before, past all the ports that he's passed before, on his way home. But there's something in his heart that starts to trouble him. And the closer to home he gets, the more troubled he becomes. You see, he starts to wonder how it is that he can bring this remedy home. Well, he knows how it feels to be that quiet, and he knows that if you're that quiet, you can't feel scared at the same time. But how do you tell people that? How do you bring them that feeling of quiet like that? And at night times, he'd be sitting on the deck of his boat, and the stars would be out, but it wouldn't be as quiet as in the far, far south. No, he could feel the movement of his boat, and he could hear the flapping of the sail and the lapping of the waves. But a great quiet nonetheless would descend upon him. A great quiet that he'd learnt in the far, far south, it would nonetheless descend upon him, and there in his heart he would see a diamond reflecting the light of the stars and shining that light upon the earth, and he knew no fear. He knew no fear. But how? How to bring this remedy home? How? And one night he was sitting there on the deck, and he was not far from home by now, and he was puzzling and troubled more than ever about this. When all of a sudden, out of the water, there comes a dolphin. A bottlenose dolphin, and she flies out of the water. And she says, "Why are you so worried?" to the merchant sitting there on the deck. And he says, I'm so, so worried. I've found the remedy for fear, but I don't know how to bring it home." And the dolphin, who was very wise, and who could see immediately what he had brought home with him, she said, "If you want my advice, don't try and give this remedy to everybody, because not everybody wants it. Some of the people in your city would rather stay scared than be really and truly quiet. Leave them to their fear. Rather, the ones who really want what you've got will find you." And although he didn't quite understand, he nonetheless felt reassured. And he didn't worry about it anymore. And when he got back to his home city, why, the first place he went was his friend the merchant's house. And there he found the merchant under a blanket under his kitchen table, still trembling with fear. But when his friend returned, the merchant said, "The remedy, did you find it?" And his friend then told him the whole story of going south, 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 always south, until the furthest south a person could go, and there finding the bear and the diamond in his heart, and the quiet so quiet that you couldn't feel fear at the same time as feeling a quiet like that. And while he told him the whole story, why, the merchant, listening to his friend telling, he became very attentive, until you could have heard a pin dropping. That's how quiet it became. And when he got to the very end of the story, why, the merchant himself, he had a little diamond in his heart that was listening, and that was reflecting the light of the stars and shining that light upon the earth. And he, too, could feel no fear. And after that, the two of them, why, they would sit on the porch of the merchant's house, sit on the porch and chat and laugh and tell stories. All the while, people were running around outside, screaming and waving their hands and being just as scared as ever. But now and then one of them, or a couple, would come over to the merchant and his friend and say, "Why aren't you too scared?" And if they really wanted to know the answer, why, the friend who'd gone all the way down to the south of the world, to the bottom of the world, where the quiet is the quietest quiet you'll ever find, he would tell them his story, and they too would become quiet. They too would become quiet with a diamond in their heart, reflecting the light of the stars and shining that light upon the earth. And I tell you, my friends, it's impossible to feel scared when you've got a diamond like that in your heart. It's impossible to feel scared. And before long, people were gathering at his house every evening and having a chat and having the story told once again. And the more of them that sat together, why, the more quiet it became. Yes, the more quiet it became. And people would ask questions, of course, but if there were too many questions, why? The merchant who'd gone to the end of the world, he'd turn to them, and just like the bear had said, just like the bear, he would roll up his nose and snarl a little and say, "Just be quiet." And I was there too. Yes, I was. I was one of those people that had been running around all scared, and I saw them and felt attracted. I thought to myself, what is it they've got there? I want to know. And I sat and I listened and I heard the story. Yes, I did. The very same story that I just told you.